Next, we have Caitlin Morey, and Caitlin is from Rutgers. She's going to be talking about genetic resistance of Eastern filbert blight-resistant hazelnut seedlings from Turkey, Latvia, and Lithuania.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. So, as I was kindly introduced, my name is Katie Morey. I'm a recent graduate of Rutgers University. This fall, I'll be attending the University of Wisconsin at Madison. So today I'm going to present to you my senior thesis work, Genetic Characterization of New Eastern Filbert Blight-Resistant Hazelnut Seedlings from Turkey, Latvia, and Lithuania. So first, a quick overview. I'm going to start with some background information, then move to methods and process, then the interpretation of the UPGMA dendrogram and structure analysis, and then finally conclusions. So this picture at the bottom are hazelnuts growing in the fields in Chile. So to start, Corliss or hazelnut, I am sure you guys have heard of Nutella. If you haven't, you really ought to go out and buy some. But there are two main types of hazelnut species. You have Corliss americana, which is native to North America, and Corliss avellana, which is native to Europe. You can see here there's a really big difference between the nuts of the two species. The American nuts are much smaller than European nuts, also not as hardy, and they don't grow as many nuts. So hazelnut is the fifth most important global tree nut crop, and currently Turkey produces 70% of the global nut market. The United States only produces 5%, and that is quarantined to the Willamette Valley of Oregon. So you may wonder why the eastern United States is not in on this excellent hazelnut game, and that is because of eastern filbert blight. So eastern filbert blight is caused by the ascomycete fungus Anisogram anomala, which, as I said, is native to eastern United States. So this fungus causes perennial cankers that girdle stems and will eventually lead to death. You can see here in this picture the cankers are swollen with water, which is how the spores are spread. So the fungus is native to the native range of C. americana. So all American hazelnuts are either completely resistant or highly tolerant. So if the trees get cankers at all, they'll get one or two. Everyone goes on their merry way. Nobody dies, except for when you try to plant a European hazelnut, and that guy just dies right away. So most European hazelnuts are highly susceptible. Attempts have been made since colonial times to establish a hazelnut industry in the eastern United States, and they have all failed. And this is because of EFB. So currently, the resistance used in the United States and Oregon to grow hazelnuts is uses the Gassaway resistance gene, and this resistance is breaking down to isolates of the fungus in New Jersey. So it is essential to find new sources of resistance. So that leads to my study. So back in 2004, and a little earlier than that, my PI, Thomas Molnar, went to Eastern Europe and collected tons of hazelnuts from all over. He went to bazaars, markets, backyard growers, just bought all these nuts. And a lot of the times you don't know the parents of these nuts. You don't even know if the trees actually came from the region they were collected in. So from all those nuts, 1,000 seedlings were germinated in the gardens at Rutgers. And from that, after 5 years of evaluation, 46 highly resistant or tolerant trees were identified. So we have 30 from Turkey, 13 from Latvia, and 3 from Lithuania. Included in the study were 46 reference cultivars that represent the 11 different genetic diversity groups that were established in previous studies, as well as 12 Rutgers breeding selections from 3 full sibling progenies. These were included so because we know they're supposed to group together, so in the tree, if they didn't group together, we knew something was wrong. So just a quick bit of information about the technology I used in this study, simple sequence repeat markers, or SSR markers. I'm sure you guys are familiar with them. So what I really want to emphasize is how important these are to breeding programs, especially one like ours where you might not necessarily know the parents of your accessions. So by using this molecular technology, breeding programs can better understand their accessions and also fingerprinting them, which is really important for intellectual property rights. So a simple sequence repeat is just a repeating sequence of 2 to 6 base pairs of DNA, as you can see in my little diagram. These are all the same species, but you can differentiate the cultivars by the number of repeats they have. So finally, the goal. The goal of my project was to use 17 SSR markers to characterize the relationships and genetic diversity of the new EFB-resistant plants in comparison to reference cultivars and control accessions to identify the most promising accessions to use in the Rutgers breeding program. So the process. Back in May 2013, my lab mates and I collected leaf samples. They were frozen over the summer, and in September, I ground them with liquid nitrogen. Then I extracted DNA using the CTAB method and quantified it using NanoDrop. After that, I PCR'd it on 96 well plates using a genetic capillary electrophoresis genetic analyzer. There we go. Scored the data using PowerMarker, created UPGMA dendrogram using GeneMapper, and created a structure analysis using Structure. So first, the diversity values, which were made using PowerMarker. The first one I want to point out is the major allele frequency, which is the amount, the how often the most common allele appears. So you want this number to be low because that would indicate a high level of genetic diversity. Our number is 0.333, which is fairly low and consistent with previous research. The next is the allele number, which is the number of alleles in the population. We have 13 is the average. That's fairly high and once again consistent. Then finally, you have expected heterozygosity, which is also known as gene diversity. So this is a really important number. Our number here is 0.79, which is almost 80%, which is very high and very good. Moving on to the UPGMA dendrogram. Don't try to read this. I'm going to zoom in on the different sections. I just want to mention that they're color-coded according to diversity group the control accessions were placed in a previous study, Muehlbauer 2014, which was done in our lab earlier this year. So the first group, the outgroup. So the trees in this group are not related to each other. They're just highly different from the other trees in the study. They actually span, these are all different corallus species from around the world. You have an Americana, Fargesii, Heterophylla. These are all from all over. And the importance of an outgroup is that it roots the tree. So while they're not related to each other, they're all highly different from the rest of the trees in the study. And then before I go on, the little dot, black dot, indicates a resistant accession. So the first group is the Eastern European group, named because most of these control cultivars came from Eastern Europe. So in this group, we only have one resistant control accession, and that's Warsaw mix. But we have three EFB-resistant seedlings. So this group is highly diverse. It pulls from three different diversity groups, but it doesn't have a lot of seedlings. The next is the Latvian seedling group, named because it has a ton of Latvian seedlings in it, almost all. So this is actually really interesting because this group contains Gasaway. And Gasaway, as I mentioned before, is the only source of resistance used in United States production of hazelnut. So in here we have seven EFB-resistant seedlings. So these trees are not really interesting in terms of breeding because they're all closely related to something we already have and something we know is breaking down. So while they're not interesting in terms of breeding, they're interesting in terms of maybe study of them could help elucidate Gasaway's backgrounds because not very little is known about Gasaway's background. Next, we have the Turkish group, which is the largest and also most important group. So you can see here that there's only one resistant cultivar in here, and that's Homskij Market, and it's not even from Turkey. So this is the most exciting thing. We identified 10 different EFB-resistant Turkish seedlings, and these are the first EFB-resistant seedlings of Turkish origin. And this is really exciting because, as I mentioned earlier, Turkey is the world's largest producer of hazelnuts. So I also want to point out in this slide one of the benefits of molecular technology in a breeding program is you can see that how closely related different trees are. So in the past, without this, you may see these four right here in the middle. And if you're looking at them just physically, they may look a little different. But if you look at this, you know that you don't want to choose all of those to breed. Because in a breeding program, it's essential to preserve diversity. So looking at this, we may pick one or two, and we'll pick the ones that are most different from each other. Next is the Spanish-Italian group. It's also a pretty, as the least diversity, it only pulls from one diversity group. We have two EFB-resistant cultivars in here and only one EFB-resistant seedlings. But the cool thing in this group is that the full sibling progenies right here, they all group together as they should. So this tells us that our tree is accurate. Last, we have the Galately hybrid group, and this once again contains some of our Rutgers full sibling crosses. They are all progeny of Grand Traverse, and they all group together, so we know our tree is accurate. So next, we have the structure analysis. And I think this structure analysis, besides being really pretty, I think it's a great foil to the dendrogram because it's a nice visual representation. But the really important thing about structure is that it can show you hybridization. So structure analysis is a Bayesian model cluster analysis that finds the most parsimonious number of populations, which in our case was six. So here I've overlaid the clades from the dendrogram onto the structure analysis. And you can see that it lines up pretty well. But if you look at it a little more closely, you can see that some of the edges of the clades are a little blurred. They don't really end where they should. And now in this slide, I've denoted where that is. So in clade one, that was the outgroup, if you remember. I put a star because the original border just went over into that pink and red tree, but now we've adjusted it so that it's in Latvian clade. Also, we established a mini clade right here, and then we adjusted the borders of clade six. And then the final tree in the study was moved to the outgroup. So I just want to point out some things that the structure analysis told us that we were not able to see in the dendrogram. First is tree T36. this seedling was not originally grouping with the Latvian seedling group, which didn't make sense because it was from Latvia, but the structure analysis shows us that it should belong in clade 2, which makes sense because that's where all its brethren are. Next, we have Chinoka. So Chinoka was in Muehlbauer 2014 grouped with the Galately hybrid group, but in my study, it grouped with the Latvian seedlings, and that didn't really make sense. But the structure analysis shows us that it has a ton of blue in it, which corresponds to the Galately hybrid group. So not exactly sure why it was placed with the Latvian seedlings, but the structure analysis shows us that it was incorrectly placed there and really should belong with the Galately hybrid group. Next, we have the mini clade that was established. Two of these are resistant. While they grouped close to the clade number 4 in the dendrogram, we could see now that they're not actually related to that group at all, which is the yellow group. Next, we have Holmskirch Market, which is actually really exciting because, as you might remember, this was the only resistant cultivar in clade 4. So this means that all of the EFB-resistant Turkish seedlings in clade 4 are genetically distinct from the resistance currently in the Rutgers breeding program. So this is super exciting. Next, we have T15, which is a Turkish tree that just happens to be highly unrelated to the rest of its Turkish brethren. So not exactly sure why, but that's just an interesting find. And then finally, we have Purple Haze, which was originally grouping with clade 6. The structure analysis shows us that it should be grouping with the out group. So there's not a lot known about Purple Haze's backgrounds, so I guess it's not really related to the Galately hybrid group, so now we know that. So finally, conclusions, and this is a wordy slide, so please forgive me. But the most important conclusion is that a Turkish group was resolved that contained 10 EFB-resistant Turkish seedlings. And like I said, these are the first EFB-resistant seedlings of Turkish origin. So these seedlings are going to be the targets of future breeding efforts after we evaluate the phenotypic characteristics. And that leads us to net evaluations. Those still need to be performed, and this is how we're going to choose which trees we actually want to use in the breeding program. And then finally, most of the Latvian seedlings fell into the Latvian seedling clade with EFB-resistant cultivars, Gasaway and Moscow No. 2. As I said earlier, just to reiterate, these trees are not interesting in terms of breeding because of their close relation to Gasaway, but maybe they would be interesting to study if you want to learn more about Gasaway, but that's another presentation, another study. So finally, just want to acknowledge my sources of funding, my awesome lab mates, and thank you guys. And that's a picture of me with a hazelnut at Kew Gardens in London, so I was excited. Thank you. Any questions?
Where did the SSRs come from?
A former tech in Dr. Hillman's lab created them. No? No? Thank you.